Okay, so going on then to just a little bit about truth, which I think is worth clarifying. I mean, an assertion of truth involves absolutizing a cognitive model, doesn't it? That if you say that such and such is true, we have to take into account here the variations on what people mean in practice when they use the word true, and there are some contexts where it's quite obviously quite provisional, and others where they're making a pretty strong assertion, which doesn't take into account the limitations of the cognitive model. Making allowances for the practical context, but certainly truth in a philosophical sense, a traditional philosophical sense, all assertions of truth, as opposed to provisional generalizations, are going to be metaphysical. But at the same time, I would not go along with some pragmatist philosophers who either effectively want to ditch the idea of truth or relativize it. So Nietzsche, for example, talks about truth for us. That he thinks that truth is only specific to a cognitive model, in effect, and the same can be said for William James, or indeed Lakoff and Johnson, who take this view of truth. But I want to argue that truth as an absolute concept is still meaningful, just as God, for example, is meaningful, just as an idea by itself. That the problems around truth involve truth assertions, not in the meaning of the term truth. And the main reason for that is, coming back to meaning and what meaning is, and hence what the meaning of truth might be, it's based on our embodied experience. It's based on our image schemas and metaphorical projections. It's not simply a question of does it fit into the cognitive model or not. So my argument will be that we do have a sort of sketchy embodied idea of truth, which will relates to the totality of our experience, even though we wouldn't be justified in making assertions about things that are true. So that's why I think the idea of truth on the edge is useful. So the idea of truth as a regulatory idea, as Kant would call it. So it's just it's an idea we can maintain there, just on the horizon, which remains a potential way of understanding things, but only in the realm of possibility. It isn't something that we assert.
Like your analogy of the middle way here, that say you're on a boat and you're going through some straits, and there's real sort of rocks on the side, and you can't actually see where you're heading for. And so rather than setting your compass to that particular heading, you make progress by actually avoiding metaphysical beliefs. And so you're heading towards this goal, which remains constantly nebulous, but is out there. To me, that helps me with that idea of truth.
Yes. Yeah, so truth there, in that context, is a way of talking about your destination, even if you can't see your destination and don't want to make assertions about it. If somebody asks, well, where are you going, heading between these two rocks on either side? Say, well, I'm going to that point I can see ahead of me. Yeah, that's my goal. But in some sense, yes, there is still an attenuated sense in which you can talk about your further goals beyond that.
Mm. That's quite a good metaphor in terms of raising questions. So, if you've got the truth is the Americas before the Americas were discovered, so you're heading to something that I suppose is over the horizon, isn't it? I'm going off to this place that you can't see, so I can't be sure whether it exists or not. But you're saying truth is on the horizon. So you can see it in the sense that you know that it exists.
No, I'm
you're
not
heading towards it, but you can't know what it is because you can't see it clearly.
You don't know that it exists.
So you don't know that the truth exists. Right. That's important. I mean, yeah, that's an important distinction, isn't it?
Yeah, so I said before, Columbus discovered America, if discovery is the right word. He didn't know whether America existed, but nevertheless he had a concept of America.
Mm. So I'm just trying to work out then, how does this stop us falling into relativism then, if we can't know whether or not the truth exists?
Because I want to distinguish justification from truth. So we can have beliefs which are justified to a greater or lesser degree using coherence and awareness of fallibility, which I mentioned at the beginning. So it was as criteria for the integration of belief. So the more integrated our beliefs become, the more justified they become.
Mm.
But that needs to be distinguished from the representationalist model where truth is judged according to correspondence with a set of affairs out there.
Does that mean then you can... what I'm trying to work out is why then do you need the concept of truth at all? Can you not have justification without appealing to truth as a regulatory idea or anything else?
You can, but I still think it has a symbolic value, it has an archetypal value, it has a function for us to maintain an idea of truth, just like the idea of God.
Mm.
So you can think of it, if you like, as perhaps rather than regulatory idea, think of it as an archetypal idea. Maybe that would be a useful way of conceptualizing it. And if we simply, push idea of truth away, like the idea of God itself, on the grounds that we don't believe in it, that takes us straight back to the left hemisphere ego cognitive model, kind of setup. And I think which tends to, tends to take beliefs first and then apply that to meaning. But I think it's, I've got this sort of strong intuition, at least, that meaning comes first. So if we can recognise what's meaningful in a way which is not dependent on a set of beliefs, in relation to our bodies, we can then go on to say, well, what are we now justified in saying? And that may be a different kind of process.
Mm. One thing that helped me with Robert's work was this idea that he feels it makes more sense to think about our beliefs in terms of justification rather than knowledge, because knowledge, by definition, is hamstrung by its own definition, that it's a justified true belief.
Yeah.
And justification has this incremental aspect to it.
I don't think I have so much of a problem with getting my head around that. It's more the, where that then needs truth.
I like that idea of the archetype too.
Yeah, but that's helpful, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be put in a context of tolerance of ambiguity here, really. Truth becomes a very ambiguous term.
Question I had related is I'm still trying to get my head round the difference between the middle way and sort of my kind of understanding of pragmatism. I mean, I'm not a philosopher. I've not studied philosophy. I've not read, James or Nietzsche or anything like that. But the impression that I get of pragmatism when I hear other people talking about it is this idea that the truth is what works. And essentially, it seems to me that you're saying, maybe not truth is what works, but beliefs are justified when they work, in the sense that, and in terms of what we mean by working, is that they are coherent and they're falsifiable, and so there's some way of evaluating how well they work. I'm trying to work out exactly what it is that's different from what you're saying, from what would otherwise be labelled just as pragmatic philosophy.
Well, it depends what you mean by pragmatic philosophy, because there are pragmatists and there are pragmatists. But I would make quite a big distinction between the classical pragmatists or sort of early 20th century pragmatists, particularly John Dewey, who I have great affection for, and the more recent ones, in terms of philosophical pragmatism anyway. But I'm quite happy to embrace the term pragmatist and pragmatism and consider myself a pragmatist, but with specification of what that means. And as I mentioned, I disagree with the view of truth, which a lot of pragmatists take, the relativization of truth, for the reasons I've given, that, you know, the distinction between meaning and belief and the way around we tackle them determines, I think, the way we ought to use the term truth. So I guess that's the way I disagree with particularly more recent pragmatists, that they don't make that distinction between meaning and belief. They start off with a perception that beliefs are relative to context, so they understand cognitive models and their limitations, but they don't really take into account the ways in which those cognitive models might be unified, or the way in which we might be able to make progress beyond that, or the way in which we might be able to have meaningful ideas beyond specific cognitive models. Dewey, I think, does a bit, in fact, quite a lot in places. So, I mean, this is a kind of big research project, really, that I'd like to do in the future. That I did a bit of work on Dewey when I did my thesis and was really impressed, but he's written huge amounts. So what I'd like to do at some stage is spend a few years reading Dewey and write a book investigating what the relationship between Dewey and the Middle Way is. In the meantime, I could recommend his biography, which I've got downstairs, which I was really impressed by what I got about his personality, actually, and the sort of balanced way he conducted himself in his life. You know, he was very much concerned with putting science and art and every aspect of the experience within one model.
Interesting.
And that's what makes him, to my mind, the most balanced, sort of established philosopher.
Well, I do have a question, Tim.